Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. 2 weeks talking.
It is what it is.
Peace. What up, family? We back in the building. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is Rigel.
Assalamu alaikum. Hotep of Brother Daniel. This is Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio, y'all. We are back. We on this Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. So shout out to all the fathers. But we here in the building. This is Collective Minds. We ain't all got to think alike, but we all have to think. So thank you, family, for joining us. We appreciate you every week. Hopefully we shut constructive dialogue with the family, you know, to get everybody week started and whatnot. But before we get into the conversation today, Queen Rigel, how was your week, and do you have any announcements for us?
I had a great week. The only announcement I have right now is to stand up and bow at all the wonderful fathers we have out here, starting with my two co-hosts, Brother Kevin and Mufasa. Shout out to you guys. You guys are wonderful fathers,
yes,
wonderful brothers. I always try to give you your credit and give credit where credit is due. So I'm giving a great bow to all fathers, all the wonderful men that we have out here.
Yes,
that's
indeed.
Only now.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh.
Right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Brother Mufasa, happy Father's Day to you, too. My brother, happy Father's Day. You dig. And how was your week, my brother? And do you have any announcements for us?
Oh, man. Yeah, my announcement is I got a cold. I ain't happy about it. I ain't happy about that.
Cold.
And my other announcement is, you know, happy Father's Day to you as well. And to let you know that your baby that I'm babysitting,
yes,
while you're away, she heard your voice, and
oh.
Now she is sitting here at my feet looking very sad because she heard you, and she's looking for you. So for everybody to know, I'm dog sitting for Brother Kev, and his baby is at my house wondering where is he at.
Yes, indeed. And Sasha. Yes, indeed. Oh,
yep.
Man. So, yeah, family, that's what's up.
Big eyes right now.
Right. Yes, indeed. Appreciate it. Appreciate you, man. Yeah, family, so we are here in the building. This is Collective Minds. So, you know, there's a few things that transpired last week, but we do want to dedicate this show, you know, to the fathers and whatnot and honor the fathers. And we do got a clip, you know, just to give the family a heads up. We do have a clip that we go show that deals with fatherhood and, you know, co-parenting and whatnot. And things that we, you know, a situation we can probably learn from, build on and learn from. You know what I'm saying? So hit us up. The number's 929-477-1697. You did hit us up at Collective Minds. We here. Yeah, so before we get into the conversation, Brother Mufasa, Queen Rigel, you know, did y'all want to put something out there?
Well, again, I know we're going to play that clip. And you just let me know when you're ready for me to cue that up. I don't think I have it. I can wait till we get into the discussion. I can wait.
Okay. Yes, indeed. Yeah, we got to definitely, we're going to have to prep for the clip. But I guess, Brother Mufasa, did you have anything you wanted to put on the table or get into?
Well, sure. Well, of course, Juneteenth is on my brain because, you know, it was Juneteenth. So, you know, everybody who celebrated Juneteenth, you know, that's cool, that's good, what's up? You know, hey, happy Juneteenth. You know, I've been having mixed feelings about Juneteenth. Especially with the fact that, you know, they made it a federal holiday or whatnot. You know, I've been thinking more like Juneteenth. You know, should we really celebrate Juneteenth? Because, like, I don't think, like, the Jews celebrate when they came out of being, you know, after the Holocaust. Not saying we're not supposed to acknowledge the day, but it's really like a celebration. You know,
right.
It should just be like a day of remembrance. You know,
right.
You know, the Juneteenth remembrance. So I don't know.
Right.
I'm not really into the celebration. It is what it is right now. When you think about what it is, I mean, for people who don't know, Juneteenth commemorates the freeing of the slaves. You know, back in February 1863, you know, we had Lincoln. He did this his Emancipation Proclamation.
Right.
But it still took a couple of years to dwindle
after
down through some of this, you know, yeah, after that proclamation to dwindle down. You know, so that was in 1863. Then in 1865.
Yeah, I think it took 2 years.
The 13th Amendment came that freed the slaves. I think it was in January of 1865. That's when they started sending. They sent a messenger through the South. I think he went to Texas. Am I right, y'all?
Yeah, Galveston, Texas.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sent a group of black soldiers to Texas to start informing, you know, these people that, you know, y'all slaves. And if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong on this, but I'm thinking that this happened because somebody was, you know, down in that area and was like, you know, why are y'all still getting whipped with the lash? Why y'all still getting beat here? And, they, you know, so they was confused and why y'all still looking like y'all getting whipped and stuff. Like, why are y'all still getting whipped? So they hadn't been informed. It was like, you know, we slaves, basically. So
right.
Yeah, it's crazy that it took that amount of time to reach to some of these people. And, you know, and then the stories that I've heard where it's people that still, even after that, it's still in some parts of this country, people that was in slavery all the way up until the 1900s. So, but Juneteenth, yeah, that marks a day where people celebrate the message getting relayed to these people in the South that, hey, there was a proclamation sign, you guys are actually free now. And the slaves were celebrating.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, but yeah, exactly. I feel a certain type of way. I could say, I don't know about celebrating. I'm all for it. I'm remembering it. I'm having a day of remembering. But I don't know about all that celebrating.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's kind of, yeah, I'm kind of with you on that one. And then my take is, well, raise my antennas, though, to keep it 100 with y'all. What raised my antennas was how quickly this passed, you know, to be a federal holiday. you know, when all the Republicans, basically it was almost unanimous in the Senate, and then I think only 14 Republicans in total. Out of all the government officials that vote, only 14 Republicans voted against it, against making Juneteenth a holiday. So we talking about, you know, hundreds then of Democrats and Republicans voting on this bill. So it's like they tried to throw a bone, you know, give people something to feel good about, especially black people. But then when Juneteenth happened, if you look online, you see a lot of remixes with it. You know what I'm saying? They throwing in gays, they throwing in LGBTQ people, they throwing in people of color, you know, Hispanics, minorities, Asians. So they kind of convoluting the whole thing. Like, we know that it was, like our brother broke down, to you know, to commemorate the freeing of the slaves, quote unquote, even though we know slavery under another name happened right after that. You know what I mean? Whether you talk about sharecropping or the prison institution, you know what I'm saying? They really just remixed it, you know, when you talk about slavery, but that's a whole nother, you know, that's a whole nother show. But as far as this, when these people voted unanimous on this, and they, you know, quote unquote, don't agree on much, but for them to agree on this, that kind of raised my antennas and made me very suspicious of the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? It, yeah, it's a day off and whatnot. But, yeah, I'm not really feeling it. Because like you say, we could celebrate, you know, some real victories that the people that made, you know, as far as being on this land, like, you know, some battles and war, you know, battles we done fought. When you talk about the indigenous black Americans on this land. So it's a lot of things that they could have made a federal holiday. I just think this was to, you know, to throw people a bone for a minute, you know, make it feel like they really doing something. But we have laws now and things on the books now that they don't enforce, you know. You know, black people's civil rights getting violated and whatnot, human rights getting violated. So there's a lot going on. I'm not too excited about it for real. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, Queen Rigel, I digress. Did you want to – how do you feel about Juneteenth being a federal holiday?
You know, I'm not impressed. You know, none of these holidays impress me. I'm just not impressed, you know, at all. You know, this out of all the things that they could have done, and not just talking about passing a holiday, but it's just all the things that they could have done to honor or show they remorse for what happened to the black community, this was the safest thing that they could do. You know, they want to still feel like, okay, well, they want to act like that they are still, you know, trying to help the black community. They want to make the black community feel safe. You know, it's just like, it's devious to me. You know, out of all the things they could have done, they jumped to that, you know, and people are excited. It, to me, just remind me of when they said that the young, that officer was guilty, how everybody was dancing in the streets, or when Kamala Harris became the vice president. It's just like, I'm just not impressed by that. I feel like if you're sincere about really helping the black community, there's so many things you can do. I mean, we have enough celebrations going on. You know, we have enough of that. You know, to add that into the mix of what happens already in the world, that's nothing. You know, it's do something that's a little bit more significant. You know, and they're not doing that. So, you know, I'm just not impressed. It's no big deal to me. You know, another day,
right,
another to make barbecue, I guess.
Right.
Well, let me ask you this though. Let me ask y'all this. Cause like in the direction I was going, I was more so, you know, just, you know, stating how I felt about what we call Juneteenth celebrating. Because, you know, we had actually in, you know, the black community, that celebration has been going on for some time. So I do want
right.
to know how y'all feel just about Juneteenth actually celebrating Juneteenth. And then I want to, you know, say how I feel also about the part y'all brought up about it being a federal holiday. For me,
gotcha.
I ain't going to front y'all. I'm cool with the holiday. Give me any day that you give me that I ain't got to go to work, I'll take it. I'll take it. But I do have, you know, my ears are up. My attendance is up, you know, because I'm with everything y'all said about, you know, you wonder why, you know, they decide to go ahead and do it. And it's almost like I've been celebrating Juneteenth, to be honest with y'all, for the past 5 years. I've always worked. If you go back in the, you know, that's shows or whatever, I've always talked about Juneteenth. I go to Juneteenth celebrations, you know, so I have celebrated it. So I almost feel a certain way now that it's actually a federal holiday and they're acknowledging it. You know, I do feel funny, like, man, y'all took that from us. This was something that me and my friends could get together and celebrate. We made our own holiday, you know what I'm saying? We didn't need y'all permission to celebrate. We was doing our own thing. So now I feel like they jumped in on the bandwagon. The government did and jumped on the bandwagon, and they kind of stole a little bit of my thunder away, you know? But, yeah, I'll take it because it is a day off. But I do feel like they stole some of our thunder. And we've been celebrating it before they made it a holiday. Now it's just the masses, you know, it's open to the public now. I guess some people now can feel comfortable celebrating Juneteenth. Some people might have celebrated it in silence. Now they got the okay from the government, they feel a little bit more, oh, okay, it's okay. I can go ahead and acknowledge it, you know.
Right.
But, so, yeah, the whole holiday part of it, that's acknowledged by the government, I got mixed feelings because I'm cool with giving me a day off, but also at the same time, it's like, man, I was celebrating it before y'all gave us permission. Now I feel like you can kind of, you know, cooled just a little bit, or took a little bit away from my rebelliousness, like go ahead and acknowledge me.
Right. Yeah. Let me be clear. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't have a problem with you know, black people celebrating Juneteenth. You know what I'm saying? My main thing was I was just suspicious that, you know, now they wanted to make it a holiday. But remember, we had Baba J on a couple years ago, and he broke down Juneteenth and gave an in-depth detail of what happened on Juneteenth. You know, so that's in the archives. You know, Baba J broke that down. So yeah, I don't have a problem with, you know, black people doing what they do, you know, on Juneteenth. You know, so.
But do y'all think do y'all feel kind of like maybe it should be like a day of observation or something? Like, do you think we really should be calling it a celebration? Because, I mean, if you take the holiday part out of it, just looking at how we've called it a celebration throughout the years, should we really call it a celebration? Should it just be like a day of remembrance? You know, because that's kind of crazy that we celebrating that now we're not a slave no more. I mean, this is some brutal stuff that people had to go through. And I was like, yay, thanks for taking your foot off our neck and not enslaving us. Like, I don't know, y'all.
I'm kind of with you on that. And we go, get to some the callers and the topic of the show. But just real quick, I'm with you on that. That's why my thing was I'm coming from, so now they hopping on to make it a federal holiday. Like, the days of them dictating the terms and what we celebrate and what are our victories and, you know what I'm saying? By them doing that, it's kind of like, yeah, they kind of giving like, yeah, okay, we sign these papers and let y'all free. you know, not counting all the battles in the Civil War that black soldiers fought. You know what I mean? Like, all the work that, you know, that people put in to actually fight against it. But, you know, when they get to tell their narrative, you know, they're going to tell it from their perspective. And that's my whole thing with the whole slavery narrative, slave movies, anything that's dealing with the past. I just hate that we get it from their perspective. It's never our own. You know what I'm saying? It's never our perspective. Even coming up in school, everything we learned, everything we've been taught has been from their perspective. You know what I mean? All the way up to the civil rights movement, you know, and I just hate that after the you know, the general public school teaching, after that, you know, black people are forced to learn outside of the school system, you know, if, you know, they want to seek that knowledge or whatnot. You know, so that's my thing. I just don't like the narrative that they put on it, you know, when it comes to our past, because I know our ancestors would have told a different story. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't be the story that we get in public schools or whatever they make holidays. It wouldn't be their story. It would be our story, if that made sense. You know what I'm saying? But I digress on that. But, Roger, did you want to chime in?
It is what it is.
Well, I mean, basically, like I was saying before, I just think it's just so much other, it's just so many other things that could have happened. You know, I'm not against, you know, I'm not against anybody celebrating anything, I reckon, but it's more so I think when it comes to the Juneteenth, just responding to Mufasa's viewpoint, I always was under the impression that they're just celebrating the fact that it's over. Not so much what happened. That is, it's over. I thought they was taking that stamp to say, "Ooh, I'm happy that it's over." You know. But either way, you know,
right,
like
right.
I said, for me, you know, I'm just not that impressed as far as the government is concerned. I just feel like there's other things that could have been done on their end. If they really want to show a sincere way of trying to give back to the black community. Because like we just said, this was already, celebrations was already done. And, you know, it has been done over time. So for them to just come on board like they've done something, they haven't done anything because it was already been done anyway. So it's like,
sure.
You know.
If the caller texts in and that's asking what other things you think the government could have done, they probably gonna ask themselves. But I know they sent that in, so I was just giving you a heads up.
Okay. Well, yeah. Other things like I know we've had discussions before on the show about reparation and what that looked like. So reparation can come in different
right.
forms of. Financial, I know we've had these discussions. People feel like, okay, maybe it should just be in a form of just finance. Some people thought about land, different things like that. So those are some examples of what could have been done in lieu of just passing a federal holiday. If I'm taking it the right way as far as what the government agenda was. And their agenda was just to say, hey, we like that you're celebrating. So, bam, here, let us all celebrate with you. And I guess if that was their agenda, that's what they did. But if it was more on a bigger picture to say, okay, we acknowledge the things that has happened in regards to this incident in this day, you know, we would like to somehow assist in the healing process. So here is a federal holiday to help you guys heal over what happened, you know, for your ancestors and things like that, because even if it happens in the past, you know, the lineage, the bloodline still has an effect on what happened to their ancestors. So if that was their way of doing that, then I think they missed the mark. So let me just be clear on that, too. So I guess depending on what the government's agenda was, which I don't really know what the agenda was for actually passing this law, but, I mean, it's this federal holiday, but
right.
Depending on what it
there
was, I mean, but either way, like I said, I'm just not that it's like, people want to celebrate, hey, I think every day should be a celebration. Yeah. If that's the case, I think we should all wake up. Whoever has the ability to wake up every day and get up out of bed and see the sun, I think every day should be to start with a celebration. I think your whole life should be a celebration. So, you know, that's just my view.
So, take this out. Before y'all introduce this intro or whatever you got going, look, I got one more thing that's on my mind. And that is Father's Day, right? Because we did give each other, we sent out our Father's Day, you know,
right.
Things to each other. But check it out, look. All right, speaking of holidays, throughout the years, we have taken off on Mother's Day. I think it's time to do a vote on if we need to start taking off on Father's Day. I'm feeling a certain type of way, y'all.
Let me say this. If you don't remember, I strongly remember when we first had this discussion, the taking off on any days was not my idea in the first place, not even for Mother's Day. I never wanted to take off. So this was actually your idea to take off for Mother's Day and the Super Bowl. So if you're having remorse of your own choices and decisions, then you need to maybe have this discussion with yourself. I don't think you should bring that to the platform.
Now,
you need to
Hold on. And I have to stop you.
Even though I may have
brought it up, we all know that this, anything that go down with this show is a three-way vote. So we vote on these. That's why I said I think we should vote on it. So with Mother's Day and
whatever.
The Super Bowl,
either way,
we
my
did
point
vote.
Is this.
We did vote.
This was
we
your
did
idea,
vote.
And it went your way. So if you want, if you have a remorse about your decision, then go with them. Go with them. Because I didn't want to
have
any
remorse.
Day.
I'm not having remorse.
Well, you said I'm feeling a certain kind of way. You said I'm feeling a certain kind of way.
Yeah. I'm feeling a certain
so
type of way.
You
having
some kind of
let me hop in and be the
Father's
rep.
Day.
Let me
I'm
hop
just
in
saying
and
I think we should vote on Father's Day.
Right.
I think
It's just a vote.
Yeah,
we're going to talk offline.
Okay, so Father's Day can replace. I'll vote right now, make it easy. Father's Day can replace Super Bowl, so we can be off Father's Day and off Mother's Day.
Now, Brother Kev, I can tell something you're getting ready to say, and I'm going to fall back on what you said, but I just want to say for you and the listeners, do you see how just the thought of taking off on Father's Day, do you see the backlash that came from the female on the show? Do y'all see that? You see what I'm saying? Do you see the assault that I took?
Nobody
back?
Sees that.
I got assaulted.
Nobody sees that.
I was assaulted.
Just nobody sees
the mere
that.
Assault taken
no,
off of Father's Day.
I didn't want to be on today.
I got assaulted. Call us. Y'all, when y'all call in, y'all put y'all 2 cents in on this. I got assaulted by the female on the show when I said, hey, we should take a vote for Father's Day to take off on Father's Day. I think I got assaulted. I think I got attacked, and that's what happened. That's how fathers feel across the country, that we get done wrong on Father's Day. And I'll step back because Brother Kev got some stuff he was going to say. I'm going to fall back.
Right. Well, I was trying to break up the little melee that y'all had going on. But, nah.
the melee.
You know what I'm saying? But
the melee. See? Even Brother Chad, the melee.
Look, I got attacked.
I got hit over the head with a bottle and a table. Got cracked over my head. That was
right.
The melee. So, I was viciously attacked.
Yeah, we'll definitely have that talk. That's a collective mind, you know, alumni. You can vote as well. Hit us up on the email and send your vote in. But
She's washing the blood off the weapons right now.
We go digress because I did want to play this clip. Now this was a clip that was floating around social media, and it does have something to do with fathers and fatherhood. So on the clip that we're about to get queued up, there was a young brother that went to go see his baby. Now, I think it was early in the morning or whatnot, but he was going over there to see her. You know, in the clip, he claims that she was blocking his number and whatnot, so he's going over to see her. And her new dude or whatnot, he was there, and he was trying to tell the baby father to leave. Or whatnot. So it was a video floating around. A lot of people chimed in and commented on it. We want to play it, and then, you know, we'll give our thoughts, and then we'll hit the call lines. You feel me? So let's get it. Collective Minds, hit us up, 929-477-1697. You got the clip, Roger?
Righty. Yep, here we go.
My son. Why can't I see my son? Huh? Then she got reinforcements coming and shit. Well, come on. Can I see my son? Can I see him?
Why are you here this early? You know you're not even allowed over here.
Are you here to see my son?
Okay, you can see him.
Let me see him and I'll leave.
It's early.
Let me see him and I'll leave. Why can't I see him?
It's early.
That's why I can't see him.
It's early. Move.
Come on, can I see my son?
I really beat you up. Come back later, bro.
Get out of here.
Bye.
Can you pause it, right? Can you pause it?
I like you, bro. Why are you on that? Like, you got a kid or something, bro.
Nigga, why is you all coming up here?
Because that's my son. My son is so good.
Bro,
listen.
My son is so good. Get out of here. I already told you, bro.
Let me see my son get off that bullshit.
I already told you.
Okay.
Get off that bitch ass shit.
All right, hey, can you back up? Hey, bro, can you back up? Shit, wild as fuck. Me, she is dumb. I gotta go through this crazy ass shit, boy. She don't make... I'm here to see my son. I told you. Because you be on bullshit. You don't let me see you. You don't... I can't call you. You block every number I call. When did I call you? Because I'm blocked. Because I'm blocked. On bullshit, I just want to see my son.
Okay,
all right,
bro.
Okay, bro, I'm about to leave, bro. I'm just trying to get my son. You weird. Why are you acting like that? All right, bro. So I can see him back later. So I can see him when
like
I come back.
Who's
scared, bro? Say something, bro. This is not our beef. This is between me and you. I just want to see my son. So why are you on that?
Stay off that social media shit.
So can
I? I've been trying to keep myself cool. You been on that bullshit, bro. That's what I'm talking about.
Why can't I see my son?
That's what I'm talking about, bro.
Why can't I see my son?
You digging a deeper hole for yourself.
You're not answering my question, Wendy.
You digging a deeper hole for yourself. You shouldn't have been
on
social
media. You sound bitter as fuck. Why can't I see my son?
You're the bitter one. You're mad because I don't want you, bro.
Nigga, I'm mad because you didn't let me see my fucking son. What do you mean, bro? That shit lame as fuck on your behalf.
I don't want you.
This kid, bro, he can't be here all day. This old bitch answer, bro. You wild as fuck.
That's it. Whatever you guys were able to interpret
from
there.
Indeed. Yeah, yes, indeed. I hope, you know, it was clear and you was able to hear and kind of see what was going on. The brother pulled up to the house, to see his son, and he ended up recording. But the baby mom was making it difficult. Now, my takeaway from the whole video, and then I'm going to let you guys go. My takeaway from it was really the guy, the gentleman that was the boyfriend, the new boyfriend that was over the house. I think anytime there's a situation where you have, another person and their child, he should have been man enough to tell his woman or his girl, his lady, to, fall back and let the man see his son. You know what I mean? What is the problem? Because when she was laying up with him, it wasn't all that energy. You know what I'm saying? When she was laying up with him, it wasn't all that energy. So the fact that you brought this baby into the world, who is a boy nonetheless, he needs to see his father. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the bottom line. And as a man, I felt like the boyfriend should have stepped up and said something. Like, chill out, let him see his son. Or he could have pulled the homie to the side and talked to him or whatnot. Anything. But I think, we definitely got to be patient with one another. And it didn't really have to be that beef, because that really wasn't his beef. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he's looking at it like he's protecting his woman, but the man is clearly there to see his son from the video. Like, we don't know what happened, before or after, but on the video, it looked like he was just there to see his son. No big deal. If it's early, whatever, like, you could pull him to the side and let him know, like, look, Holmes, come back in an hour. We go get him ready. You know what I'm saying? Or anything other than trying to be tough and buck up when the brother was just trying to see his son and be a father. He's saying he's going to put his own self on child support. You know what I'm saying? So that's my takeaway. I digress. I guess Brother Mufasa, yeah, Roger, y'all want to jump in?
These are just always unfortunate situations, because the problem that I started with this video was just listening to how they talk. This bruh, with this old, what's this new age speaking? I just can't get with this. Bruh, what is, everybody is bruh. And you're not completing sentences. It just shows the mindset and the mentality of these young people having kids. And that's why they can't conflict. They don't know how to conflict and have conflict resolution properly. Because their minds are not ready to have to know. They don't know how to problem solve. I was listening to how she was speaking. And she wasn't clear. She wasn't finishing her thoughts and her sentences. She wasn't making clear points. She just was like, that's what I'm saying, bruh. You on that bull, bruh. You digging a deeper hole for yourself, dude. Like, and that's just like, they're not knowing how to, they don't know how to problem solve. And unfortunately, sometimes it should be someone there that they would be willing to listen to assist them in solving issues, because clearly they're not capable of doing this the right way. Even the father, he wasn't able to really communicate well at all. The boy, no, those three adults, no,
right.
Not one of them was able to communicate properly. Problem solve. It's just simple, communicating, talking with someone like you have sense as an adult. And it's just so unfortunate that they don't know how to communicate. It's like, I don't understand that generation of people that's talking like that, bruh. It's like you can't get anything solved by just saying, bruh, bruh. You just sitting up in somebody's face saying, bruh, bruh. You're not getting anything communicated. It's like, bruh, what? You're not telling him what the issue is. He's not telling me what his issue is. It's like you're not coming together to fix this the right way. it was frustrating to me listening to it. And I know this is a problem that happens so often when you have parents that just don't know how to problem solve. And they, you know, it's just unfortunate that the kid has to be in the middle. And it's not a great thing when you have a mother that is keeping her child away from the father. I never condone that, never. I think fathers, as long as they're not, you know, being harmful to anyone, they have the right to see the child. And I'm very supportive of that, you know. So whether she's in a new relationship or not, you know, she should be articulate enough to tell her guy shouldn't even have to get involved unless the father is just uncontrollable. And if that's the case, then maybe they should go in other directions as far as visitation, you know. But if he's an adult, her new guy shouldn't have to even get involved. They should be able to just communicate and say, hey, he's coming to see his son. Like you said, hey, come back in an hour because he's still asleep. But apparently he went over there that early because they wasn't letting him see the son in the first place. You know, I guess
that's
how I'm thinking. They weren't letting him see it, and that's not cool. I never condone that as a mom. I think the father, the parents have the right to be within their child's life unless you have circumstances where a parent is just not, you know, as if the parent is harmful or just not mentally equipped to be in, you know, with the child. You know, other than that, I think each parent has the right to be with the child and be involved with the child. And I think, you know, anytime a parent tries to take that away from another parent, that's not good. And that's it. That's all about it.
I'm not
going to
talk too much about it. Y'all said enough on it. And that's an unfortunate situation. That's horrible. I know somebody that's going through a situation like that.
It's
like that. Matter of fact, she took their child, and he hasn't seen his child, I think, in about 6-7 months now. And because
yeah,
he doesn't
crazy.
Have the money to go back to court, then he just stuck.
Just
stuck,
yeah.
You know. So,
yeah.
That's
messed
up the
situation.
Yes, indeed
it is.
It's
yes,
a Father's Day, so we're going to fight for...
Yeah, we
have
to have the fathers. We play...
The willing fathers that actually want to participate in their children's lives, we support you. And never stop.
Right.
Never give up. Always try to be there for your children. If you have a baby mom that's not doing the right thing, don't let that stop you. Don't let that be an excuse to not fight to see your child. You have the right. If you want to see your child, then you fight for that.
So let me ask you this, Roger, from a female perspective. You know, what type of suggestions can you give somebody that could be going through that, like a father that's trying to see his kids and trying to do the right thing, be in their life, but the mother may be making it difficult? Like, any advice on how to approach that situation or, you know, how to handle that?
Unfortunately, it's just so vague because everybody's situation is different. So
that's
you have
true.
To know how have to know the person that you're dealing with and know how to communicate well with that person. You have to know that. So it's going to start with being able to communicate right. And sometimes I know people may have a challenge with doing that, but you have to figure it out. You have to figure it out, even if you have to get a third party involved, because you want to – anytime you're going through a situation like that, where there's a disagreement, you want to make sure that the environment is going to be at a positive level. You don't want to escalate it. You don't want to get into a shouting match with someone. You want to be able to keep it calm, you know, within everybody. You have to try to keep it calm and be patient so that way you don't go in there, you know, ready to turn up, you know. So you have to be able to keep it calm. So if you're dealing with someone who is unable to be that way for whatever the reason is, then you just have to keep finding methods and ways, you know, but that's going to determine by the person that you're dealing with, though, because each person is different. Unfortunately, you have some people that's just really bullheaded and stern, and it's just hard to break through and talk to them. And unfortunately, fellas, if that's the case, you made your bed, you lying. That's why we have to be careful about who we have children with. This person didn't just become that way. So if that's the case, unfortunately, fellas, that's your bed. You have to figure out a way to deal with it. You know, even if try a third party, try, you know, get the courts involved. You just have to keep trying different methods, you know, because some people are like that, unfortunately, both men and women. And you just have to know how to deal with them, with those types of people. But it's no one solution, because each individual and each situation is different.
Right. That is true. That is true. All right. And, yeah, anything else? We are honoring the Father's Day, honoring the fathers here on Collective Minds. You know, shout out to y'all. Hit us up. The number is 929-477-1697. You want to hit the call lines, Brother Mufasa? Did you have something you want to say before we hit the call lines?
Okay, we hit the call lines. Area code 314-381. Call, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment. And happy Father's Day.
Yeah.
Yes,
I heard
happy
you,
Father's Day.
Heard you getting down on those people. But, you know, you guys cover so many things. And I'm just going to try to make you think. And I hear people saying that you got so many states don't want to teach Juneteenth. And like Mustafa said, grassroots groups have been celebrating that event for as long as I can remember. So it's not anything new.
Right. That is true. Right. That is true.
And actually, the only businesses that have to observe it is federal business, right? Normal business don't have to be observed. Of course, we see that.
Right. That's correct. It's a federal. They made it a federal holiday.
Right. A federal holiday. That's true. Exactly.
Now, check this out.
Yep.
Check this out. What ethnic group is always complaining about the disparity in equity, which means money? I mean, come on, real quick. It's blacks.
You already know, right?
All right.
Rightfully
what ethnic
so.
Groups is disproportionately hired by the government? Blacks.
Yeah, you all. I see where you're going. Blacks, right?
So now they going to shorten their equity by taking another day off from their government job. Won't be getting paid. Unless they get them paid. I don't know, really. I can't tell you. But logically, if you don't go to work, you don't get paid. Another point. They celebrate Juneteenth because it was the 13th Amendment, which was finally settled on December the 31st. In 1864, wasn't it? 1865. That's what
65.
That's what done away with slavery. Lincoln had no authority over states that had seceded or free states. He couldn't have any, he couldn't. A proclamation is not a congressional act. It's just a statement, an announcement. I mean, y'all with me so far? The city of St. Louis had a proclamation for Jackie Robinson Day. Gave out plaques. My grandson got one. He played for a baseball team. you know, minor league, not minor league, but he played youth baseball. He got a plaque. Jackie Robinson Day is a proclamation by the City of St. Louis Board of Aldermen. It wasn't a law. Another thing. The only control that Lincoln had would have been for slaves that was escaping and going to the Union forces lines. Getting away. They run to the Union soldiers. But what did the Union commanders do? They declared the slaves as contraband. What is contraband? Something that can be used to fight against you. Well, I thought slaves wasn't getting guns. Hello? So, if they were declared as contraband, then Lincoln had control over them. He could have declared them, let them go, let them go. But slaves elsewhere, he had no control over. Would y'all agree with that?
Yeah.
If a U.S. naval ship intercedes another ship on sea, they would search that ship for contraband if they are engaged in war with that ship, which probably could be coming from a ally country, allied to the people that they are warring against. During World War II, that happened many times. Ships was boarded. They were searched for weapons and bombs and missiles and so on and so on. That's contraband. Another point. Indians. And that's just a common term. It's a legal term that was came out of treaties. It just means members of a tribe that's recognized by the United States, in particular, the five civilized tribes: Cherokee, Choctaw, Chickasaw, the Creek, and the Seminole. And by the way, it was the Seminole that was in Florida, that came out of Florida, that was some of your notorious slave catchers and bounty hunters. Not whites, Seminole. Lincoln had no control over them. Why is this? Because they were sovereign nations. They still are today. If you go into Oklahoma and a member of the Creek runs a red light, a member of the Creek kills somebody, robs somebody, the police cannot arrest them. Not the state. If they get killed, kill somebody, that's a federal crime. Because they are a separate nation. Their own nation police, a judicial system, has to deal with them. That is today in 2021.
Yeah.
All right? So you guys,
you dropping some bombs. The only thing, I was just going to backtrack with, you know, the whole 1865 thing or whatnot, was that, yeah, that was May of 65 was when that group of black soldiers went down to Texas to let people know that, that slavery was over. But even then, the slaves didn't acknowledge that. It wasn't until the following year, June of 1867, when
the Indians didn't acknowledge. Yeah, the Indians didn't. Well, really, you know, that's another thing, too, you brought up. Because the Indians didn't acknowledge it until as early as March 1866. And those tribes, the five, but you had two other tribes. You had the Delaware, the Navajo. I don't think they ever did. But the members of the five civilized tribes started acknowledging their release of their slaves in March of 1866 and going one by one all the way up into about July of 1866. But get this. two of those tribes, might have been more, the Choctaw and Muscovy Chickasaw, said, we ain't releasing nothing until you pay us for our property. And guess what the government did? Paid them for their property.
Paid them.
About $300,000. Now, let's go on a little bit more. I know y'all, see, you got to know this. Just because those people, the Muscovy Creek skin is black, that don't mean that they one of what you call black Americans. When they
right,
was on what you call the Trail of the Tears, yeah, when they was on what you call the Trail of the Tears, the creek, they didn't walk, they rode boats, steamships. Because they had rich creek, elite creek, that was making money off of a whole lot of stuff. Another point, when they got up into what was creek territory, because Oklahoma did not become a state until 1907. And you had creeks staying in that area, and what was called Tulsi came to be called Tulsa, in all that area, and other Indians too, all of them, the Seminole, the Cherokee, the Osage, the Cherokee is over in Wagner County, which is to the east. They've been there since probably in the 1700s. And you got members of the Creek then whose skin was just as black as Wesley Snipes, but they was not Americans. They didn't want to be Americans. They was Creek. Now, let's move this up forward. Let's talk about Black Wall Street. In Creek society, you can't own land. If you was a Creek, Mustafa, you could go to the council and say, I want 1,000 acres to work. They would give you 1,000 acres and give you 2 years to turn it into whatever you want to turn it into. But you never own it. Same way over in Africa. You don't own the land. So, who was that land that they built what we call Black Wall Street on today, the 35 acres? And it wasn't Vine and Archer. It was First National and Archer. That was the name of the street. It became Vine later on. I don't know how. So once again, who built those buildings? Now, they do say that a lot of black artisans, black bricklayers and stuff like that, came from like places like Chicago, because in Chicago it was being developed at that time. You had a lot of blacks working in basically the trade. So they went to that area, as they had done when they was working on the railroad, as they had done when other things was being built around the country. They traveled, because that was a good job for them. And they helped Bill work on those projects. And I'm saying this, and it's starting to narrow down, that it was Creek that owned those buildings in majority. Now, maybe not all, but for sure they owned the land. And the main commodities in that land was what they called no good land. Why was it called no good land? Because you couldn't grow nothing on it. Why come you couldn't grow nothing on it? Because of oil. They struck oil. And you heard the story that one 12-year-old girl, they started giving out allotments, 160 acres apiece. That's how you would have got your land, my style. Say, I want to utilize my allotment, which is 160 acres. Every member of a family got 160 acres. If you had four members in your family, that's a square mile of land. You go from Kings Highway to Umsel over to 367 back down, and that's a square mile about. All that would be your land. Sarah Reckner, who was 12 years old, had 160 acres, and on her land was oil. And she leased it out to Standard Oil at the time to develop it. they paid her through royalties at the equivalent of what would be about $5,000 a day. And you look at pictures of that woman, that girl, she is not African-American. She's Creek. But she was the richest woman, female, probably the world at that time. And she had people writing from all over the world wanting to marry her. And she, the NAACP came and got her. And I don't know how that happened, but they took her to Chicago and got a birth certificate on her to say that she was white. Now, yes, racism and stuff that we call went on then at that time. And that's what you call it in the United States. The same action that would be played out by human beings would be called something different in another society. No matter who the color of the skin or who the people are, that's human beings. That's what human beings done. So if we talk about they don't want the story to be told, well, hey, the blacks that tell the story today, and I'm not talking about people like yourself, but the ones that like to come and convene lectures, you pay $20 to come sit down. Then they sell you some vegetarian food and something to drink, some punch or something. Ginger beer, $22 a plate. And when you get down, you're still hungry. They're the one that put those slanted stories out there and don't tell both sides. Ain't nobody saying things didn't happen, but nobody talk about the good things. Heck, you had blacks, quote-unquote, as early as 1640 that were using a program that allow you to sponsor or assist an immigrant into the country. For every one you did, you got 50 acres of land. And that one guy named Anthony Johnson, he accumulated 900 acres through that method. Others accumulated land and even leased it out to whites to farm. This is early as the 1600s, mid-1600s. Nobody talks about that. All they do is lavish on the same old story that blacks were slaves. Then anything that's not lily white, they want to claim is black. That's wrong. That is totally, totally wrong. But anyway,
yes,
who
indeed.
Am I to say?
Yes, indeed. Appreciate you. No, I'm with you. I'm with you to a certain degree, caller, because I think, again, we got to tell, you know, we have to tell our story, tell our narrative, and tell the victories. Because, like you say, all black people wasn't slaves. You know, all black people.
How did that work out? Well, who's gonna get reparations?
Right, right. Now, I would say this is because, you know, I do know from my research a lot of the black-skinned Indians or Native people of this land, they got reclassified and mixed with the black people who came from Africa or whatnot.
Well, this is what happened with them. They have a system in their society that's called in the Creek. Now, others are something different. Some of them you have to show 50%, and I can't think of the word that they use, but you got to show you 50% of us. The Creek has a matrilineal system where everything's come through the mother. So if you marry a Creek female, a pure Creek, I ain't talking about no half-breeds. Now the Creek consists of red, white, and black. Because you got whites that done the same thing when they seen the opportunities that exist with the land and the oil.
Right.
But
right.
You marry a Creek female and have a baby, that baby is Creek. It's the same thing with Islam, right? The son is what the father is, right? If the father's Muslim, the child born, he's a Muslim. I mean, that's that society. They got a right to do that. But if it's the other way around, it's not so. That's why they practice child slavery. Because if the mother was a slave and had a child, that child's a slave with the Creek. And another thing, some of them Indian tribes, like the Creek and probably the Choctaw, had a slave code that was worse than Louisiana. Worse than Louisiana.
Right, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Doc. Yes, indeed. Appreciate you, caller. Appreciate it. Yeah, he gave us a lot of information that he was dropping on us. But, yeah, and I think Dr. Claude Anderson talked about that in his book as well, how some of the tribes, Indian tribes, the five civilized tribes did own slaves at one point. But again, we do know that a lot of the, you know, the natives had dark skin, black skin and whatnot. And they mingled commingled with the black people who were brought over here, who were brought over here from Africa. And so that's why you have a lot of black people when they say, you know, they got Indian in their family. That is true. Because I know on both sides of my family, there is some Native American or some Indian blood. You know, that's mother and father's side. So, you know, and there are a lot of black people, you know. That's true for a lot of black people here in America. But to the caller point, as far as the reparations, I think that's pretty easy. You know, they'll tell you it's difficult, but, you know, you can trace, a lot of black people records back, through record keeping, through the natural records or whatnot, the national records. So I don't think it's that difficult to figure out who would get reparations and who would not. If you first generation or your family just came over here, you know, in the 2000s, then no. You know, even if you are black, from the continent or from the islands or somewhere, if your family just came over here, then no. And if you have if you can trace your family back 3, 4, 5 generations, then I think that the processes can be done. And the thing about it, if humans want to get things done, all we got to do is agree to it, you know, and it can get done. So I don't think that's a difficult process. You know, there's a lot of smart people out there, a lot of records, you know, a lot of data that we can use to figure out who gets reparations. And I think that would be not a difficult challenge considering, you know, we do all these other feats, you know, as people. So, but yeah, I digress. Did y'all want to comment on something brother was putting down?
No, I mean, I don't have a comment. I don't know if we're fine. So we can get to the call line.
No,
area code 319.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't hear. Yeah, he was kind of flat. I didn't think he had to say anything. Area code 319-572. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment. And happy Father's Day to you.
What up, bro?
Hi. What's going on, please?
I had that talk with my nephew. I told him he called me bro one more time. I was going to knock his teeth down his throat. After that, he was back on.
Yeah.
I love it.
New generation. That's the only thing they know how to say. Bro, it's like, come on. I think that creates a stumbling block with communicating right then and there.
Yeah. Y'all been hit on a lot, and y'all done pretty much brought up everything I was thinking. I was thinking about everything I was gonna say. Y'all had already talked about, discussed it. So, but I'm gonna give my opinion on one thing. I agree with Mufasa. We get Father's Day and Super Bowl.
Father's Day, Super Bowl. They're gonna vote.
You women get hold up, you women got Valentine's Day. We want our Super Bowl. That was
Yeah, because we all know Valentine's Day is for women.
Actually, you're with me because I said we can do Father's Day. Because we already have Super Bowl, we can't take off on all these days. We don't take off of Valentine's Day. So it's one or the other. So I'm with it. If we want to do Father's Day, I'm with that. That's fine.
Yeah, Rigel, on Super Bowl on Father's Day, you're going to be the only one on the show.
You do notice, Carlin, that I said we should take a vote, but you notice how she just threw out there just
No, one or the other. You see, but you see how the vicious assault came? Vicious attack.
Yeah. It's always like
say,
that.
Yeah, you know, we vote all the time on things. But this particular time, she put her heel down.
When it comes
down,
to women,
her heel.
Men's opinions don't mean
down.
Nothing.
She put her heel down and said, no, screw that.
Hey,
screw
Foo
that.
Father. Now, let's think about this Father's Day thing for a second.
Boy, that's right.
Who prepares all the food on Father's Day? Who does all the cooking and cleaning on Father's Day?
Not you guys.
That depends. That depends.
Right. Who?
That depends.
From my experience on Father's Day, as fathers, we always prepare our own meal.
I know where you're going with that. I know where you're going with that because fathers be out barbecuing.
You don't get that day at rest.
They be out on the grill.
Us men have to make Father's Day happen. Otherwise, it ain't happening.
Yeah, they be out on the grill. I get you. Yeah, I get you. You have to take a stance and just not do it.
But at the same and on another note, the last American flag slave wasn't free till the 50s. Till 1950. That's when all the slaves were completely free.
Except if you got convicted of a crime.
Yeah, it did.
No. The white guy that held this slave was convicted of holding a slave. And this was in the 50s. 40s or early 50s, one or two. But yeah, they just and like Kevin said, they found another way to enslave them. Oh, you're walking on the railroad track. Guess what? You're going to prison.
Right.
You ain't got no money. Oh, you're a vagrant. Right. You're going to prison. And once they got you to prison, they leased you out.
It was a wrap.
You basically died in prison from walking on the railroad track died in prison for not having money.
Right. Mm-hmm. So ordering the black codes, they did a number on, you know, a lot of the slaves. But again, a lot of black people was free, a lot of black people on land, a lot of black people was making money. So, you know, just as well as we tell those stories of, you know, how they had the black codes
and
they was locking folks up, we could tell the other stories.
And those other slaves in Galveston, one of them black slaves, ex-former slaves, comes in and told and say, hey, you ain't slaves no more. They should have just helped and left. No, they had to wait for the white man to help. 2 years later down the line, the white man had to come in and say, hey, what's going on? Y'all free.
Yes, indeed.
And it was
that's a good point, though.
That's what Moses was telling us a year ago. We were still getting our back feet. So,
yes, indeed.
Should be not a day of celebration, but the day of remembrance of the tragedies our people had to go through, and some things that are still happening to this day. But racism really doesn't play a real factor in a person's success anymore.
All right, yes, indeed. We want to grab a couple calls. Right, appreciate it. We want to grab a couple more calls. Let's get it.
Thanks, Carla.
Right on.
Get off my line with that stuff you're talking, Carla. Talking about Super Bowl and all this. We're going to do one or the other, Father's Day or Super Bowl. That's the vote. One or the other. We're not having all these off.
Why we can't vote like we always do?
We are going to vote Father's Day or Super Bowl. That's the vote.
That don't sound like a vote.
That's totally a vote. We're going to vote either Father's Day or for Super Bowl. But I want to say this before we get to the comments. Again, this is Father's Day. So I'm acknowledging the fathers, and I want to thank again the fathers. I'm bowing down to you guys today.
Uh-huh.
Call if you have someone that have you cooking your own meal on Father's Day. I feel sorry for your circle of people that you have chosen to invite into your space. I think you probably need, and I said this to you before, I think you need to check your circle. If you cooking and cleaning on Father's Day as a man, I feel really sorry for your level, the level of people that you have around you. I just don't understand that. So I just say that, but happy Father's Day to you, even if you got to cook and clean, I guess. But you make your bed, you lie in it, Father, so you got to know who are the ladies that you are around. So I just like to say that. We get to the call line, area code 314-361. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or do you have a comment? Or are you just listening?
Well, I'm doing it all. First of all, happy Father's Day to the brothers that's talking and to the brothers that was on earlier.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Likewise.
It's a lot of stuff. The main thing is, I think if you're referring to the fathers as far as on the, I'm not being projecting on a race or nothing, but if you're referring to the fathers on Father's Day for the black race, I think you guys, it really shouldn't even be a vote. It should be more of an encouragement because we have a lot of young men out here that are fatherless, and their father needs to be encouraged more, even in the daughter's lives or within the son's lives or the daughter's, all of us. If we all go back to reflect on what we are now, at some point in time, it was influenced by a father either being there or a father not being there. So more so, I think you can encourage for the fathers that are there to encourage the upcoming young men that are having children to be more productive and involved in their kids' lives. So Super Bowl, that's a game. That's a betting thing. That's something where people can bet money, rivalry. That's entertainment. But that father, that's about life. That's about passing on generation to the next generation. That's about helping another child acknowledge, as the Bible say, honor thy father and thy mother, and your days will be long. It's a code. It goes back to biblical time. If you disobeyed your parents back in the day and you was a problem, if you go in the Bible historical, they stoned. They pulled the whole tribe or the committee, pulled your kid out. Oh, he's stealing, he's too rebellious, he's talking back to you. Pull your son out. The verdict is in. The tribe, they stoned your kid. This is facts. This ain't just making up a fairy tale. So what I'm saying about the fatherhood, and then it says also if a child let on the loose, it'll bring shame on the family. And everybody knows situations right now. If you got a member in your family, if they say, let's just pick a name, the Wilsons, just superficial, the Wilson. If you were Wilson, your son, oh, that was the Wilson boy. See, you carry on the legacy. So we have to be real careful of setting examples for fathers. So I think a Father's Day should always be an encouragement. I just want to acknowledge you guys. I'm thankful for you all doing the show today to honor Father. That's why I tuned in, because I tapped in Father's discussion. So that's my input today. I encourage y'all to emphasize more fathers and encourage more fathers to be a part of the conversation. How can we better being better fathers, and what can we do? And then for the ones that are fathers, honor them because they're getting older. They may be in a nursing home. They may be sick. They may need may need you to go cut their grass where the father used to do, he can't do it anymore, or you know, just that. But the main thing is, thank you guys for encouraging, at least having the show today and not canceling. So that's my opinion.
Yes, indeed.
And happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there.
Right on. Appreciate you, caller.
Okay.
And happy Father's Day to
yes,
you.
Indeed.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And I will be, you know, the first to say that, you know, me personally, I have a lot of work to do as a father. You know what I'm saying? I could definitely do better, do more, you know, and that's my pledge. You know, every day, every year, you know, I want to be a better father, you know, person, brother, friend, you know what I'm saying, son, and all that stuff. So, but on Father's Day, yes, you know, there's still some work to do, but I'm definitely in my kid's life, and you know, whatever they need, you know, I'm gonna be there to provide that for them. So, yeah, just want to put that out there. But the caller was right.
It took a wise man to call in and put it like that and word it like that. That this show was needed on Father's Day, it was needed. So I'm glad that he called in with that and that we didn't listen to the vicious assault by Raiju saying you're going to do one or the other, you know. So I appreciate that brother calling in and wording it that way, that we're needed on Father's Day. We needed to be here.
So in other words,
right
we're sticking with Super Bowl. So in other words, we're sticking with the Super Bowl on the off day. But I'm honored because I'm so thankful that I know a lot of good fathers. I'm so thankful to know that the men that I know and the men that is close within my circle are good fathers. I'm so thankful that I don't have an experience coming from, like some females may have, where they don't have the experience of experiencing good dads and good men. So I just want to say to all the men that I know, my brothers, I just want to just thank you guys, all the male friends that I have. I know some really good dads, and I just want to let you guys know that I really appreciate you guys for being there for your children, because it can be very challenging, and I think a lot of men don't realize how it affects the child when they're not there, you know. So for the guys that I know, I just want you guys to know that I'm thankful, and I just encourage you guys to keep doing what you're doing for your children. It is very important, and it is very needed. Fathers are very important. And I want you guys to know
I'm sitting here looking at my oldest C right now. She came to deliver me a Father's Day gift, and she's hearing all these good words of how her father is a good father. She's giving me a smirk.
Yes.
But it's good
yes.
that she can hear it and she know that, you know, because I almost did to put up for adoption. But at the last... Last thing, I changed my mind, and I hung on in there with all these years. 23 years later, we still together.
Yes, indeed.
Just one more.
All right, let's
get one more comment. Area code 314-372. Caller, you're on with Collecting Minds Radio. Do you have a question, or do you have a comment, or are you just listening?
I'm listening. Got a comment and. Now that I understand the total gist of what the show is about, it's a good thing to have a Father's Day edition of your show. And my comment is, I think it's about time that we make Father's Day not just a passing day for socks and shoes and barbecue, but we actually make Father's Day mean something substantial. I think it's about time that for the men and fathers in the communities around this country that we turn Father's Day into a day of service, community organization. And on Father's Day, you know, fathers pull together or even throughout the year to build up to Father's Day, that you pool your resources. You don't have to have a lot. You know, if everybody puts something in the pot, everybody who wants to be involved or wants to be a good father, you know, does some kind of community service to pool our resources. And it may be different in each community, but I think it's time to make Father's Day actually stand for something besides, like I said, socks and ties and barbecue. That on Father's Day, people actually recognize that. I know these brothers every year, they get together and they do their thing. They cutting grass, they paint buildings, they doing whatever, you know what I'm saying, is needed in your community. And I just think it's time to give Father's Day a greater sense of relevance.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I agree. You know, and happy Father's Day to you too, brother.
Happy Father's Day.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, you know, this Father's Day, you know, black fathers have for a long time, we got a bad rap. You know, a lot of black fathers been absent and whatnot and wasn't, you know, around to properly raise, you know, a generation. You know, we could point to all the things that happened, but we don't want to make excuses either. You know what I'm saying?
Don't even try.
I'm sorry. What's up?
No. I was just saying we want to honor the ones that stayed around.
Yeah, exactly. So we want to honor the ones that stayed around and that is, you know, doing the best that they can to provide for their kids and be in their children's life. So shout out to y'all on this day. You know, we appreciate you. We see you. You know, keep up the good work.
All right.
And I'm going to let y'all wrap it up.
Okay. Well, I will, again, just want to say thanks to all the fathers again, all the ones that stayed, all the ones that fought the fight and didn't give up and stuck in there no matter how hard it was. You didn't abandon your job and your post. You stayed in your child's life. That is a great thing. You did what you were supposed to do. So I encourage you and I just thank you. And, again, I'm just happy that I know good fathers. I'm happy that my story is not that where are the good fathers at? Where are the good men? I'm honored to be surrounded by a lot of good men. So I just want to thank you guys again and just say thanks. Thanks for being good men. Thanks for doing what you're supposed to do. And to the callers, thank you guys for calling in and tuning in with us today. Please tune in with us next Sunday, 6:30. I mean, I always say that. Why? 6 o'clock. To 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Like always, if you have any show topic ideas, send us an email at collectivemindyahoo.com. Also, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us anywhere. Peace. Thanks for supporting us. Happy Father's Day. Peace.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your full point and add to our collective, a colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talkin'.